It is a privilege for me to address the listeners of Latvia on this occasion of the rejoicing of the British people on the accomplishment of 25 years of the reign of our King and Queen. And I wish to express my sincere thanks to the authorities who have permitted me to do this, and my admiration of the arrangements made by the Latvian British Society, which is doing such excellent work in promoting a cultural understanding between our peoples. At the present time, the need of sympathy between the nations of the world is perhaps more urgent than ever. And it is very gratifying to find that there are devoted people working here so efficiently to spread among the Latvian people a more intimate knowledge of the English-speaking nations. I was delighted to learn, even before I came here, that the national education of Latvia included the study of the English tongue. But it has been a very pleasant surprise to me to find that there are already a very considerable number of Latvians who possess a great knowledge of the language. I believe that this will be of great mutual advantage, not only to trade with the British Empire and America, but also to that mutual understanding which is the basis of real friendship. You will, I am sure, appreciate the diffidence of one who has but just arrived in your country, after many years of service far away from this continent. I have been endeavoring to learn something of the story of this ancient race, of its distant origins, its heroic deeds, its varying fortunes so important to the history of Europe. I know that our commercial contact with you began very long ago, when British merchants traded to your great ports, and some of them settled and founded families here. And I believe that British initiative had much to do with the first industrial enterprises in this country. Let us hope that our commercial connection will continue to thrive with increasing benefits to both parties. And coming to more recent times, during the reign of King George, there has been the cataclysm of the Great War and Latvia's successful struggle for independence, in which you know our sympathetic interest. You may believe that we, like others too, have watched with pleasure the achievements of the sons of Latvia, not only in the economic field, but in the realms of science and art. But I have still very much to learn, and I feel that it would be an impertinence, in my ignorance, to continue to speak to you on this theme. My purpose in addressing you this evening is to try to evoke your sympathetic response to the happiness of my own people on this great day. I hope that many of you will listen to these few words, and that, however feeble they may be, I may yet succeed in communicating to our Latvian friends a little of our own emotion. All over the world today, scattered British communities have gathered together to celebrate the Silver Jubilee, and it must add much to our happiness to think that, for a moment at least, our friends around us in every land attune their spirit to ours and fraternally rejoice in our rejoicing. But how shall I convey to you the meaning which this celebration has for your British friends? It is not easy to explain the full intensity of the sentiments which lie deep in our hearts. We are a shy people and do not naturally speak of these things. Our loyalty to our sovereigns is a very real and strong feeling. It is a part of the love of our country and of our empire, of which the king is a central figure. But His Majesty is not a mere symbol or figurehead. He is a leader of his people, to whom he and Her Majesty the Queen have throughout these 25 years set the most lofty example of devotion to duty. During this quarter of a century, our nation has passed through great dangers and trials, and it can be very truly said that the king has fully shared the sorrows as well as the joys of his subjects, and that his majesty's influence, his wise and courageous exercise of his authority, and his example of steadfast faith and unselfish devotion to duty have played a very great part in our good fortune. It is not customary for one of the king's servants to make public comment on his majesty's personality. But the occasion is unusual, and it has been said by one of our famous writers that the Englishman is taught to love the king as his friend. Well, I think it can also now be said that King George himself has taught us this lesson. This prince, who before his elder brother's death placed him in the line of succession to the throne, has served for many years as an active officer of the navy and always retained his early love of the sea and ships. This sportsman, who has been known as one of the best shots in England and has followed his father in his keen interest in horse racing, this royal farmer with his wide knowledge of agriculture and stock breeding, this great gentleman who has always shown the most earnest concern with the lives and occupations of his subjects, this king has endeared himself to us. He has taught us to know him, not only as our sovereign, but as our friend. We are grateful to the providence which has given us the benefits of his reign, and we do sincerely pray that it may long continue. It is with us no empty form of words to say, as millions of voices have sung today, God save the King.